Today, a spotlight on Cairns property. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I want to do a deep dive on Cairns property because I've had a number of people ask about what's happening in the far north of Queensland, and they've also referred me to a couple of articles recently published that were claiming that Cairns is going to be a huge opportunity for property and that prices are on the rise and that everything in the garden up there is wonderful. So I thought we should look at the data and see what that tells us. But before I start, just a quick reminder that on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney time, our next live Q&A session will be discussing the thorny question of whether digital is potentially the answer to money printing. And I'll be joined by Nugget News' Alex Saunders. So come and join that live conversation. You can ask a question, and we're going to look at things like central banks, strategies, how crypto can play into it, and whether the future is digital. And we'll also look at stablecoins and central bank digital currencies. This will be an important episode. I look forward to seeing you then. And now, with regard to Cairns, I just need to make a quick caveat that this information is based on my analysis and data. It is not financial advice. It should be not taken as such. And this information is for your personal use. And of course, it may change ahead. So this is a point of time discussion. But nevertheless, there are some important observations that we can make about the Cairns market. And here I should just explain for those who may not be familiar with DFA that we survey households all the time and pull information from many other sources, including publicly available information such as, for example, JobKeeper and JobSeeker information at a postcode level, as well as a bunch of other information. And from that, we can model the dynamics of what's going on. And that includes, for example, slicing and dicing information by location and by segment and all sorts of other things. And very importantly, we also can drive our different property scenarios out the back of it. In other words, how positive or negative property price movements may be. And finally, by taking our mortgage stress data, the price trajectory history, the buying and selling intentions, the migration statistics, and broader economic data like CPI, wages, and employment, we can put that through our core market model and calculate movements at a postcode level. And indeed roll it up to region, state and all Australia. And that gives us a chance to then look at the property price profile and expectations down on the ground. And I should say that the approach that I'm outlining tonight is in fact the same one that we use through our DFA one-to-one sessions. They're actually proving very popular because what that means is that you can have a conversation with me directly about a particular postcode. And whilst I can't give specific advice, I can certainly share my data and look at the underlying trends. And I can assemble stress data, home price trend data, and a bunch of other things too, to form a view as to what's going on down on the ground. Now you can book a time for a Zoom or phone discussion. It's up to an hour. Typically they run for about 30 to 40 minutes. And the cost to do that is $250 plus GST, payable in advance, which just about covers the costs of my doing it. Don't really make a lot of profit on it, but nevertheless, it means that I can cover the costs of the exploration and analysis I need to do to support it. And just to warn you that you can contact me via my blog to set this up, but spaces are limited and bookings are typically 3 to 5 weeks ahead at the moment because we have such strong demand for this particular service. Right, so now let's get started and look at the Cairns area. And that is actually postcode 4870. And there's a warning here, that postcode covers a massive area, many different communities, some on the coast, some inland. And as a result of that, looking at a postcode level may be misleading. So what we have to do is go granular where we can. And that's, of course, what we will do through this discussion. Now, the first thing we can look at is property for sale. And in fact, across the whole area, there are more than 500 properties for sale. That's quite a big number. And in fact, if you include the total postcode, it's even a bigger number. And here's just a few examples. I've picked houses in and around Cairns for this. And you can see there that there are a number of suburbs, like Edge Hill, for example, that come up quite often. Some properties go to auction. Quite a few others are for offers. And indeed, we'll be discussing both Edge Hill and Parramatta Park properties, which are areas just adjacent to Cairns city centre. Now, one observation that's worth making is that in some cases, listings don't give a very firm price guide. They talk about mid-300s, for example, and that's partly reflecting the relatively benign property market up there at the moment, in my view. And given the fact there are so many properties on the market, the choice is actually quite broad. Now, in terms of sold properties, in the last 8 weeks, around 172 properties have sold across the whole area. And one of the most obvious things that's going on is subdivision. You can see there a number of lots and the asking price on those lots, plus apartments and houses. And of course, the old adage is there, last asking price does not tell you anything about the settlement price. Many property portals don't report the settlement price until much later. And in some cases, of course, settlement will be somewhat lower than the asking price. But as we flick down the list, you can see a number of properties there, including a number of subdivisions. And in fact, speaking to one of the agents up there in Cairns, it looks like subdividing and building on subdivisions has become a major focus for the property sector up there. And of course, that is a way of making money off property. If you have a larger lot and you can slice it in half and essentially sell some of it off, you can make an additional amount. And that is one of the factors that is definitely driving the market at the moment up. Now let's look at current price trends. And this is using our DFA data. And we're going to start with Cairns City. The postcode, of course, is 4870. And in that city centre, basically, it's all units. And across the 2013 to 2020 time horizon, overall gain across those years is, wait for it, 0.1%, or after inflation, it's down 1.7%. And if you look in detail at the movements in 2013, prices were 400,000, dropped in 2014 by 10%, rose a little in 2015, fell in 16, fell in 17, rose significantly in 18, dropped significantly in 19, and is stagnant in 2020. All of those who were claiming that the units are booming in Cairns City, well, the data belies that observation. If we just go north from Cairns City, we come to Cairns North. And there, the average gains for units are 1.8% over that same 2013 to 2020 period. The average return after inflation is flat. And a somewhat similar trend in terms of some price rises in 2014 and 2015, small rises in 2017, 2018, nothing in 2019, and a fall in 2020. So the old adage that property doubles every 7 years, certainly not true here. Now we can also look at Cairns North houses, and there the average gain at 4.3% is somewhat stronger between 2013 and 2020, although after inflation it's down to 2.4% positive. And again, there were some significant rises in 2014, 2016 and 2019, but falls in 2020, and the average house price is sitting at around $450,000 today compared with $340,000 in 2013. And then we can go to Edge Hill, which is slightly inland, and there units are sitting at about $190,000 at the moment, up from $130,000 in 2013. The average gain over that period is 6.1% or 4.2% after inflation. And again, there were very significant rises in 2014 and 2015, drops in 2016 and 17, and a rise in 2019, and then a fall in 2020. And houses have a somewhat similar profile, with a gain of 3.7% between 2013 and 2020, or after inflation 1.9%. And again, it's worth noting that there were significant rises in 2014, 2017, but not much happening at all in 2020. There was a rise of 9% in 2019 on average. Now, these are median prices. Of course, there are some variations on individual properties, but nevertheless, the trend is quite clear. And as you begin to look across multiple suburbs, you can begin to see similar trends. Then Parramatta Park, which again is slightly inland behind Cairns City. And there, the average unit price is $240,000 compared with $190,000 back in 2013. The average gain is 4.1% over that period, or 2.2% after inflation. And again, the most significant rises were in 2014. Not much has really happened since then. And in fact, there were significant falls in 2019, followed by a significant rise in 2020. Houses in the same postcode had an average gain of 3.4% between 2013 and 2020, or after inflation 1.5%. And the significant rises were in 2015 and 16. Prices rose from $350,000 in 2013 to $435,000 on average in 2020. There was a fall in 2019 and a small rise in 2020. Then we can go to Westcourt, and once again, units are showing a small gain, 1.6% after inflation, or 3.5% per annum before inflation. And the average unit price in 2013 was $180,000 compared with $225,000 today. And once again, significant rises in 2014 and not a lot happening since then. And I just want to make the point that, of course, if you bought in more recently, the chances are that you'll be sitting not on a gain, but on a loss. And Westcourt houses, the average gain is just 1.2% between 2013 and 2020, or after inflation, down 0.7%. The average house price in 2013 was $310,000. It's now $330,000, so it's almost gone nowhere. And you'll see there considerable falls in 2019 and 2020, although there were rises in 2014. So let me try and then summarise the overall situation. Across the whole postcode, and that's a broader area than we've studied in detail, there are more than 1,100 listings, with around 200 added in the past month, but more than 500 have been on the market for more than 6 months. And in May 2019, listings were higher at 1,200, and at the moment around 55% are houses, the rest are units. Now, the gross yields are actually quite healthy here. For houses, the gross yield is around 5.3%, a slight fall from 5.7% last year. The net yield, which includes covering the costs of maintenance and servicing of an investment property, is around 3.75% and is falling, but that's considerably higher than many other parts of Australia. And gross yields on units are even better at around 8%. That's very healthy, which is a rise from 7.5% last year. The net yield is around 5.5% and is rising, and that is actually right at the top of the range of yields across Australia. Of course, we're looking here at cash flow yields, not including capital appreciation. The rents for houses are rising, up 1.5% in the past quarter, with a typical rent of $480 per week for houses, and rents for units are falling, down 1.1% in the past quarter, and the vacancy rates are around 1.5% compared with 1.3% in mid-May 2019, and around 225 vacancies are reported currently compared with 180 in 2019. Asking prices are on average rising slightly now, with a typical house price of around $485,000. The average settlement, though, is around 6% lower than the asking price, whereas units are about 8% over the quarter in terms of asking price to around $225,000, but settlement is around 7% lower, and the intention to sell is rising slightly. Now, if we look at our stress results for this particular postcode, it tells a very interesting story. Now, of course, we define stress in cash flow terms. So there are around 32,000 households across the postcode, 10,000 of whom are borrowing, 18,000 are renting, and there are around 14,000 properties for rent and around 8,000 property investors living in the postcode. Doesn't mean that they necessarily have an investment property in the postcode, of course. Overall, the financial stress metric is 21%. Now, that's very low relative to the national average. And that is a reflection partly of very significantly lower home prices relative to many other parts of Australia, and the fact that there has been very little property price growth, so people have not had to extend themselves so much to buy property. There are around 2,300 households in mild mortgage stress. In other words, they've got cash flow issues, including some that have interest and principal loan deferrals. Around 24% of households in the postcode are stressed. 24% is considerably below the 39.5% average across the country. And the risk of defaults sitting at around 3%, which is slightly higher than the national average. In terms of rental stress, around 17% of households are struggling with rents at the moment, with cash flow. And now we are seeing some signs in our surveys of more stress because those rental deferral periods are coming to an end and people will have to start repaying soon, just at the time when Job Seeker and Job Keeper are being ratcheted back. And investors are actually not doing it too bad at the moment, with about 17% of property investors who live in the postcode experiencing property investor stress. So overall, stress levels are relatively benign at the moment, and that bodes relatively well for what may happen to property prices. Which takes us to our scenarios. Now, what I'm going to do is to walk you through the scenarios for each of the areas looking at units and houses separately. And the way to read the first chart is that we show our base case scenario, which is the yellow line. And that scenario is on the assumption that there will continue to be, for a period of time, further border closures and international borders will stay shut, certainly for the next 12 months or so. The overall economy will continue very slowly and the government stimulus will not be that successful. The low scenario is a more positive one. It's closer to the one that was included in the budget, which suggests that the borders will open earlier, that the government stimulus will be successful, and we will see the international borders opening quite soon. The high scenario, high drops in prices, of course, is what I'm referring to here, is one where we have more and recurring outbreaks of the virus and the economy continues to languish. True, both locally and internationally. Now, my mid case, my base case, is the one that I think is most likely. But nevertheless, I do share the alternatives. And you can see there that in the very best scenario, there is room for Cairns City units prices to rise over the next 2 or 3 years. On the other hand, prices could fall quite considerably if the worst case scenario works out, could be down 30% over the next 2 or 3 years. So I can then translate that to real values for units. So Cairns City units, which are sitting currently at around 360,000 median, are looking like they'll drop around 3.5%, then 5.6%, then 5.5% to be around $309,000 in 2023, which would put them back where they were, well, in fact, lower than they were back in 2013-14. So there doesn't seem to be much upside there. Of course, if you took the more positive view, that story would be a bit different. Then we can look at Cairns North units, and a somewhat similar story with the base case showing a very modest rise in 2021, then a fall, and then a more significant fall. Whereas the low case and high case are separated, of course, quite significantly in terms of outcomes. So if we apply that central case to Cairns North units, our view is that the $240,000 average price for units in Cairns this year will be pretty much unchanged next year, will fall by 5.1% in 2022 and fall by 9.8% in 2023 to take it down to around $206,000. Now, if that were true, then that would actually put it down below where it was back in 2013. If I look at Cairns North houses, again, using the same scenario, you can see that our base case shows a small fall and then more substantive falls in 2022 and 2023. Obviously, if the economy bounces back, then there are rises rather than falls. So as a result of that, our estimate of what may happen to prices after the 8.2% fall in 2020 is a very small fall in 2021, a more significant fall at 3.5% in 2022, and a further fall of 4.2% in 2023 to take prices to around $412,000, which would put them back where they were in 2015-16. If you go to Edge Hill, again units, the performance there is somewhat similar. The base case is slightly negative next year and then more significant falls the next 2 years. And let me just explain that these are cumulative falls over the 3 years. And therefore, Edge Hill units, which are currently around $190,000 with a fall of 2.6%, will fall slightly next year, down 0.7%, then down 6%, and then down 5%, to take prices down to $168,000, which will put them back where they were in 2015-2016. And houses in the same area are showing a somewhat similar story with small falls in the base case, nothing much next year, down 4%, down 7% over the next 3 years. And applying that to the values, prices for houses in Edge Hill are around $545,000 in 2020, pretty much flat next year, a fall of 4.1% down, and then a fall of 3.6% in 2023 to be around $500,000, which would take prices back to where they were in 2016-17. And Parramatta Park, again, a somewhat similar profile, just slightly different. Each area is driven by a number of different factors, including the prevalence of job seeker and job keeper, and also some of the demographic data that I hold. So we do model down at a very granular level. And applying that information to Parramatta units, you can see there that after an 11.6% rise this year, we think there'll be a small fall next year of 0.7%, then a further fall of 7.5% in 2022, and a further fall of 3.3% in 2023, to take prices to around 213,000, which would be where they were back in 2013-14. Whereas houses have smaller falls. Our base case is down just a little next year, and a small fall, actually about 8.1% in total over 3 years. And applying that to houses, you can see there that the $435,000 value, which rose 2.4% this year, will be down 1.1% next year, down 2.2% the following year, and down 4.9% in 3 years' time, to take prices to around $400,000, which is where they were in 2014-15. And finally, we go to Westcourt, and there, somewhat similar story with small falls. Units, of course, more than houses. That tends to be the way that these models work. That's based on our experience over more than 20 years, by the way, I should say. And units are showing falls of 2.2% this year at around $225,000, a fall of 1% next year, a fall of 6% the following year, and a fall of 5.1% in 2023, to take prices to close to $200,000, which would pretty much put them back where they were in 2014. And finally, houses in the same area, somewhat down again, a fall of 9.2% over 3 years is my base case, whereas if you go for my best case scenario in terms of the economy, the low scenario, then there are very small falls over that 3 year period. Whereas if the economy really languishes, then it could be an 18% fall. And applying that mid case, we see a 5% fall in 2020 to take prices to around $330,000. Then a fall of 1.5% in 2021, a fall of 3.4% in 2022, and a fall of 4.3% in 2023 to around $300,000, which would put prices very close to where they were in 2013-2014. Now, I will underscore that those are only estimates, and if you take a more positive view on the economy, as I've shown in my scenarios, then there is room for some movement upside or keep prices roughly where they are. But at the moment, my mid case has the highest probability, so that's the one that I'm using for my modelling. So to conclude, if you look at this data, it's quite clear to me that Cairns is not necessarily a particularly buoyant property market at the moment. There might be a number of people looking at the area, perhaps from interstate, and prices may seem quite good value relative to other parts of the country because prices have seen little acceleration. But my point is, there is very little expectation of capital growth ahead, certainly from my modelling. And whilst the returns to property investors are somewhat more healthy relative to other areas of the country, including New South Wales and Victoria, and that may attract some interstate investment, overall, property in Cairns look to me to be holding their value or falling rather than increasing in value. And the general momentum in the market looks to me to be pretty weak rather than bullish, which, of course, many people were claiming. So I hope you found that a useful conversation, just to illustrate some of the granularity around prices and the fact that you need to go into a lot of detail to really understand what is going on. The high-level summaries and the high-level estimates tell you very little at all. Now, I will be using my data to make other shows ahead. So if there is a particular postcode that you'd like me to make a show on, let me know in the comments below and I'll add it to the list. I can't promise I'll do it, but I'll try. But then, of course, you do also have the option of the one-on-one if you need information quickly. As I say, quite a queue at the moment, quite a few people asking for that service, but we do try and turn it around as quickly as we can. But the bottom line from today's analysis is that Cairn property prices are not in bull mode at the moment. Let's put that spruiking story to rest. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching. And I'll see you again next time.